So, on the stage with all this power, let me see how I will start this. What does success mean to you? And I'll start with Dr. Winston.
Oh, okay. You know, sometimes we measure success in terms of how much we can accomplish. But I start with measuring success is, did I do the will of God? And if I did the will of God, I am successful. And I find that a lot of times what happens is I get to a certain point and or I do a certain thing, or let's say something doesn't go right, I go right back and check to see, am I in the purpose and the will that God has for my life? Because there's a lot of things you can do out here that you can accomplish and maybe get some recognition for. But when life is over, are you complete in terms of standing before your Creator and He say, well done? That's success to me.
I'd love each of you to take a stab at that. Ellen?
Let me consult.
Okay.
Let me consult before I answer anything.
Yes, please.
I have my consultant here. I think that, you know, obviously your family and your children and the mark you leave on them. I think for me, the older I get, it is just how, you know, I go to bed at night and I think, did I do the right thing? Did I say the right thing? Did I make people feel a certain way? And that's a successful day. Yesterday I had a rough day. My dad passed away recently, and I just was one of those days, and I just really didn't want to get out of bed, which is really weird for me. And about 4 o'clock, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to lie down. And I was like, I'm a total loser. I'm lying down in the middle of the day. And I thought, you know what, everybody I've come in contact with today, I think I've brightened their day a little more. And that, to me, at this point, is success. It's the feeling that I leave with somebody else, not about me.
For me, success has always been seeing my vision through and through entertainment. And usually my vision has been something to propel Black people to the next level. So when I create an artist or a TV show and I put it out there and people like it and it puts Black people in a better position than they were, that's success for me.
Steve?
It's a dual question for me. Whose life have I bettered just by virtue of waking up? What need or gap have I been able to fill? Success is putting my head on an honest pillow every night. And it's also trying to find out what my best is. Not somebody else's best, my best. What is that? And I'm only looking for that answer, the person looking back at me in the mirror. Every day also, I try to do something that I've got no business doing. Some risk I'm willing to take, someone who may write to me about something not expecting a response, and so I respond. Try to find a moment, literally this happened yesterday, a store manager somewhere, he's just not happy with his career. And he said, I'm ready to walk away. And so I shot him a note and I said, don't walk away. Let's talk first. He's like, well, you don't have time. I said, I'm never too busy for you. Quick conversation. Here's what I want you to do. If I can do something like that every day, like every day, that's success. It's less about less about your title, right? It's more about what you do and who you affect.
How would you, either of you, say you prepare your mind to succeed? What is that process?
That me? Oh, okay. You know, you have to understand that I've just learned everything now from a scriptural reference. So when I I kind of point out these things, understand that's where, you know, my part is. What was the question again?
The question was, how do you prepare your mind to succeed?
Yeah, okay. The when I'm being led into something, it seems to me that, especially in these more mature times of my believing life, it seems like it continues to get bigger, or can I say more impossible. And, you know, I'm looking for God to give me something easy to do, you know, but it gets bigger. And it's not that it's an obstacle, but it's providing an opportunity for me to grow. And I find that what I have to do is I have to come back to a scripture called Joshua 1:8, that he says, thou shalt meditate in my word. So I find that meditation to me of the word of God seems to shrink the problem. And it seems to give me strength at the same time, that this thing that looked like it was too high is no longer a challenge. I mean, that I can go into it and be successful. And it's amazing that I can see myself at the end. It's like, and once I see that, it's like, I think Steve and I talked about this yesterday, nothing can stop you. It's like you are headed towards a breakthrough. And each time you get a breakthrough to another level, of course, there's another devil. But you got to understand that you're not done yet, because where you are is not the limit of your potential. And God, it's almost like he put so much in us that he just wants us to keep achieving and keep climbing. And I don't think there's any end to it. So that's my point.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Andre?
For me, I prepare my mind for the obstacles first. And I try to figure out what would motivate these obstacles to see it the way I see it. So I prepare myself to be patient and to be a good listener when I'm talking and when they're talking back to me. So I can hear whether or not they see it my way, or they have a particular kind of cancer that's making them not see it my way, and be understanding of that and figure out how to get around that or cure that cancer so that the path is straight. So for me, it's being a very good listener and having my vision clear and figuring out for each individual that I might need to support it, how do I best communicate that to them?
Good. Steve?
The mindset of success for me begins with the small things. And you'll hear many, you know, quote-unquote successful people say that, but they're all stealing that from Scripture. You know, Luke 16:10 literally says, be faithful in the little things. Because if you can't be faithful in the little things, then you'll be dishonest in the big things. So the little things, actually. Doing what you say you're going to do. Similar to Andre, I expect resistance. I expect it. I am not swayed by it. I expect it to come, and I'm prepared for it. And to be quite honest, I want it. I want it to come. And that mindset, I think, is so driven by that circular conversation around who you're serving, because for so many, there isn't at times an emphasis on the details, the small things. I think also that mindset of success has very little to do with looking or seeking permission or approval. So as long as he says I'm good, I'm not really worried about whether or not you think I'm good. So a lot of times we look left and right looking for some kind of affirmation, and it doesn't mean that you can't have that, it's not necessary, but there's one voice above all others that I think you have to answer. And then lastly, a question, that, again, that mindset is, what dream would you pursue if you knew you wouldn't fail and you couldn't disappoint? And that's not actually really a question, because one, it implies that you have a dream, and you all have a dream. May reside in the quiet of your own heart, but you have a dream. And our relative past in life, we still, four of us, all have dreams still, of something still to come. But what gets in the way is fear, actually. Fear does get in the way. That I'm not going to be successful, but the minute you leap, therein is the success, regardless of the outcome. That, too, is a mindset. And be willing to disappoint, because you will. I mean, you just will. There's visions of your life. Many of us were told at different stages in our life, this is not possible. It cannot be done. But that's somebody else's vision. Most of the mindsets of successful people that I see, you know, they seek information, they seek guidance and wisdom, but they still have their vision, their sense. They're nonconformists. That's who changed the world. That's who does change the world. Most successful people get to those places and points in their life because they simply refuse to play by the rules.
Thank you. Ellen?
I just go into every single solitary, whatever it is, if it's creating a television show, if it's and I will go back to the very original days of Oprah, and there's four girls in a room, and the way we created, we had no brand, and when people said, you know, what was your brand, we're like, oh, branding's for cows, we don't have a brand. There was four girls in a room, and this is what we did. We came to work, and I said, oh, God, I feel fat today. So the next day, we did a show called What Jeans Look the Best on Your Butt. And then the next day, another woman would come in and say, oh, I went on a really bad date, he didn't call me back. Next day, we did a show. How can you get a guy to call you back? So for me, I approach everything with, if I'm feeling it, then I know everybody else is feeling it. And if I can relate to you, and I know you could be a pilot, you could be an astronaut, you could be a nurse, you could be a doctor, I approach everything with the expectation that we're all equal, we're all the same, and if I'm having my big giant stresses, you're having your stresses, and I think for me, I think that the thing that I do that is my, it's not even preparation, it just is automatic, is I always work harder than everybody, I work longer, I'm nice and kind to everybody, and that for me sets the tone for success, because then everybody wants to work as hard as you, and everybody wants to do a great job, and everybody wants to give back as much as you're giving back. And then it becomes a cycle. And as my partner up here, who is the person you definitely want to follow while you're doing this kind of a thing, you know, God can dream a bigger dream for yourself than you ever could. So just, I'm not that person. In all the things I've done, I've never had a flow chart, I've never had a graph, I've never had a projection, or I have to hit this mark by this day. I just do what I love, and then it comes naturally. And I think that the bottom line is, if you, and I say this to my two boys all the time, I have two teenage sons, one's 6'8", one's 6'6". They love basketball and they love rap. We wish they loved science as much. But find your passion, find your passion, find your passion. Because if you find your passion and you do what your passion is, then everything comes 99% easier. When you're dredging yourself to a job or a profession or something every day, and we've all been there, and you hate it, and the boss, and the people, and the rest of it, whether you want to go open a donut shop or whatever you want to do, you've got to find what makes you excited to get up in the morning. And that's my preparation. I just love what I do. And, you know, I say to my son, you love sports? Go figure that out. Go figure out a career in sports, because that's what you love. So figure out what you love and do it, and be kind and work hard, and I think success comes.
me just add this, that the tendency is to, and we tell people this, you know, you can be anything you want to be. And that, we say that to encourage people to step out in what they feel that they perhaps have been called to do. But each one of us, it's like the cells in the body, has a purpose for being. And we've got to, at some point in life, tap into that purpose. A Purpose-Driven Life was one of the best sellers that had come out in a long time. And I think people still tend to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. That's the expression that they use. And one of the reasons why is because people are provision-driven and not purpose-driven. And as a result of that, they are leaving their purpose trying to make more money. And money is a cruel master, if it ever gets a hold of your life. And what you have to do is you have to make up your mind that I'm going after my purpose. Because if I find my niche, then I can tap into my gift. And if I tap my gift will make room for me and bring me before great men. And I think that's what you're talking about with Merge. You're talking about people who are out in an industry here, and I don't know, I've never been in that industry, so I don't know. Now, there was a time that I was a great actor. And, you know, so, but now I'm pastoring. And you know, I would cry on you. You know, if I try to get you to do something and you didn't want to do it. Okay, but anyway, so but it's key for us to encourage people to run after that gift. Because that is a way that not only could they add the maximum amount to society and be just a blessing to the world, but they can die fulfilled. And that's what I tell people, don't you dare die with my stuff. Because what's in you is for me, and what's in me is for you. I just wanted to add that.
So along those lines, and anyone can answer this question, do you feel that you are operating in your purpose? One. Two, what has there been in your life that has frustrated those purposes, that purpose, and how have you overcome it? That's two questions. So let's start with the first. Do you feel you are operating in your purpose? Anybody?
Yes, I do. I think, and obviously you said it so perfectly, is that when I was saying about, you know, figure out what your passion is somehow, for not somehow, that how, you know, I found at a very, very early age what I loved, and I really do believe why I was put on this planet, and so when you get letters and you hear from people and you've changed their life and somebody was raped and somebody was going to commit suicide and somebody was this and that and something you said or something you wrote jumped through that TV screen and changed a life. You know, there's nothing, I don't even know anything that would top that. And so I think that for me, just from day one, I figured out, and I don't know, I didn't figure out anything. Let me be clear. These guys are very much more specific. I figured out I loved what I was doing, and I was about 16 years old, and I started with Oprah when I was about 17. I loved what I was doing. It did not feel like work. It felt like what I was supposed to be doing every single solitary day, and it still does. So I think along the lines of what Pastor said is that it is about when you figure out your passion, whether your dad thinks you should be a doctor, but you really want to be a shoemaker, you got to go be a shoemaker. And so for me, the answer is yes. Obstacles?
Hold on the obstacles. I'm going to come back to that.
Okay.
Next.
Yes, I think I am working in my purpose. I think my purpose has consistently been to look at people and see what their talent could be and how far I could take it and motivate them to go pursue that. And it was easy to do, or it's easy to do from a musical standpoint. Like example, when I first heard Mary J. Blige and I heard the level of soul singer she was, and I went to her house to meet her and her mom, she was very shy. She really didn't believe in herself. I was able to give her my belief and put her in position to realize her dream. And then I was able to help her figure out how we should market her. So we named her the Queen of Hip Hop Soul, which soon as Don Cornelius said it on Soul Train, she became it. And it's that feeling of being able to take someone who symbolizes a community that is not shine, that does not have a light shined on them with a positive light, and to be able to take them and uplift them makes me feel like I am truly in purpose and I'm truly successful at it. So now working at a music television network, I'm able to do the same thing in a lot of different ways. Like there's a part of what I do that's kind of teaching people to see their inner purpose. So I run a conference called the Revolt Music Conference, where we do about 1,000 people, and I invite 70 professionals, and I curate the conference and the questions so that it answers what people are looking for so that they can go on and pursue their dream in the entertainment industry. So from that standpoint, being a teacher who can market and shine a light on a community that doesn't have a positive light as much as that we would like it to have, I feel I'm definitely doing what I'm supposed to do.
Thank you.
I think you have different purposes at different stages of your life. As a young boy lost in a foster care system, my purpose was to get out of that as soon as I could. And then my purpose was to get to college, and then it was to find my biological family, and I did that, and then it was to create my own family, and was able to do that. So your purpose actually should evolve over time. It should evolve. It's probably the most pressing question that I have, though, because I do feel in the depth of my spirit that God saved me from an improbable circumstance that I had no business surviving and doing so intact at that. And so, but it wasn't for me. Very aware of that. When my mother was pregnant with me and my twin sister passed away because of my mother's addiction. And so I thought, you know, God in his infinite wisdom says, so I know what's going to unfold for these children. I know how difficult life is going to be for both of them. And for my sister, I think in his wisdom, he said, you're going to come with me now. But your brother, on the other hand, I've got plans for him. And I need to be able to sit in front of my creator, as Dr. Winston said, and say, I now understand what it is that you have asked me to do. I have said yes to my purpose. I have said yes at different stages of my life. I'm not quite there yet. I'm getting closer, though, because I do feel that we are in a very difficult time in the world and in our country, this kind of me first, I this, I that gospel that dominates our life, dominates our discourse, actually, everything. So far from the teachings of faith, regardless of what faith you're talking about. And I think our collective ability to look beyond those traditional categories and definitions and find mutuality in one another, that's my next purpose.
Amen. So, Dr. Winston, you prompted that question. So I want to go to the flip side of that, because I'd love to hear you expound on that. And I know through life, there are so many things that we pray for, we aspire to, and I'm so grateful to have, you know, another board member of the Merge, who is also a faith mentor to me, Pastor Mark Baker, who is here, and he shared a scripture with me one day, or one year, that has changed how I look at obstacles. And it was something that I shared with you yesterday, and it was Isaiah 66:9. Will I bring you to the point of birth and not allow you to deliver? Or will I bring you to this point of delivery and close up your womb? And I remember that at every challenge I face. When I, you know, I'm praying, I'm striving, I'm pressing, I'm on purpose, I know what I'm doing, and then I get to an obstacle and I'm like, what is this? Didn't you lead me this direction? Why is this not working out like I thought you prophesied to such and such, who told me what you said, and why ain't it working? And I go right back to that scripture. Just because, listen, in birthing, before the baby comes, there is pain. Even when you have a C-section, because it hurts in the back when they put the thing in your back, the epidural. But I learned that through the birthing process of purpose, there is a little pain. And I've also learned that behind our pain, there is purpose. But sometimes when we aren't careful, we allow the pain to frustrate the purpose so much that we get out of the will. And so I'd love to hear, starting from you, when you faced those challenges and you didn't have time to rush back to Isaiah 66:9, how did you overcome?
Well, personally, if I know that I'm supposed to go somewhere, I'm supposed to do this, and I'm constantly seemingly having these obstacles coming up in front of me, and I just can't do it, I seek God, but I seek God by, if I would, stripping my own self of what I want best for my life, or I just surrender myself to the will of God. And also, sometimes what I do is, in the industry, we call it turning the plate over. That means fasting. Now, I don't know whether they do that in your industry, but in my industry, they
I do.
But, you know, just liquids and so forth, just not to move God, but to move you. And sometimes what happens is you're out of position, and you can't quite hear him the way you want to. And so I recommend that for people, and it slows everything down. And it's amazing, when you slow down, you also can receive one word that will give you strength. And you mentioned about that birthing, that pain that comes with it. Well, what you're delivering is hidden stuff. There's stuff in you called potential, and you have to labor to deliver it. And that's what a woman does when she does deliver that baby. She labors, but that baby comes out and she's rejoicing. And that's the same thing as we go from one level to the next level. It seems the same thing. But I think all of us have this time when we say, wow, God, I mean, where are you? I mean, what is this? And we talked about some places you can go and maybe your branding gets a little bit tarnished because your intentions were good, but the thing ended up wrong. Now, what do you do with that? I take this prayer. I got warfare prayer for everything. I've got prayer to silence airwaves that might try to speak ill of me. If God is all powerful, then I'm going to act like he's all powerful. And I do that, and it'll automatically start turning where people start speaking well of you and everything. So when I can't get it in the natural, I go to the supernatural, make it happen.
Man, Andre?
Well, I try to take my ego out of it, try to take myself out of it, and try to look at the person that I'm trying to convince as my obstacle, and try to shine the star on them, and try to position what I'm trying to do so that it helps them in their career, and not so much feels like it helps me, but it gets to the common goal to find the mutuality and what I'm doing that benefits the whole. So I take myself out of it, I take the shine off me, and I position it to put the shine on other people, then ego obstacles start to melt away. And that's what I try to do.
Steve?
You know, the obstacle is actually building armor. You know, it's moving you, believe it or not, from strength to strength. That's not oftentimes how we see obstacles. We see obstacles in the context of, well, I am besieged by something. And in that moment, that's how we see it. We don't see that it is girding us up for some future state that is to come. The obstacles, you know, there isn't anything that I've tried to do in my life, personally, professionally, that I did not meet resistance. I expect it. I certainly have followed the careers of my fellow panelists. They all had something in common. They saw something where nobody else did. You can best believe that there were people saying, well, now how are we going to put this woman who's, you know, on television in the world of Phil Donahue, right? And how, Dr. Winston, how are you going to get this place? And, you know, Mary J., well, sometimes all you've got is just your vision. Sometimes that's all you've got. And the obstacles that are in place in front of you, there's a reason why they're there, actually. There's a reason why they're there, to teach you something, to guide you in a purposeful direction. You will, regardless of what you aspire to, there will be some voice, sometimes within yourself, that says, this isn't possible. I may be off the rails here. And even in those moments, I've never failed at anything. It doesn't sound odd to say. I've never failed at anything, ever. I've had setbacks, that I've had. But fail? No, I may have thought it. That's what it was in the moment, but now I see that that setback was really a setup for something that was to come. And that's true for wherever you are at any moment in your life. Lastly, try to create value where there is no value. That's one of the secrets to success. So a lot of times we wake up and we say, well, I want to do what Alan does, or I want to do what Andre does, or, well, that's what they do. Do what is in your heart to do. It's your dream. Check your birth certificate. It does not say follow somebody else's life. You didn't come here with that anointing. You came here with another one that was your mission, your vision, your purpose. That is not to be approved, defined by anybody else other than you. So in the midst of the great struggles that I found myself in, you know, those obstacles that were in my way, there came a time that I didn't laugh at them because they were tough. But I thought, to be honest, since we all family here, I would say to myself, don't you see how this is going to end? Can't you see that? Can't you see whether I have this vision of writing a book and I'm told I can't do that? Can't you see that there is something else at play here that's got nothing to do with me? That is about a higher power saying there's a plan here and my will is going to be manifested through this individual and in the ways that they operate and act. And if you can see that, actually, you can see it. But as Andre rightfully says, you have to take the shine off of you because it's not really about you. It's about somebody else.
Thank you. Ellen, and then we have one more question for the panel. How do you handle the purpose?
Well,
struggles.
Obstacles?
Yeah.
Obstacles in my way?
And now remember what I said.
I'm not going to swear. Don't you worry. I got the lecture. you're at a church. Can't talk that way. You know, I think this is how I look at it all. really the only thing I can't quit is being a mom. So no is the ultimate way for me to resist an obstacle, get caught up in it. When you're in a negotiation and you can walk away, then you have the power. And so at this point, and you're absolutely right, your purpose and all those things change. My purpose when I was 16 was to find a cute boyfriend. You know, then my purpose changed and it was to do this and that. And now one of my sole purposes is not to get caught up in the obstacles. Definitely trying the fast, no question. Because I do think when your body is out of alignment, then everything's out of alignment. If you don't feel good, that means something. If you don't, you know, if you're not energized, it means something. So you absolutely have to take care of yourself. But for me, obstacles now, always a lesson. Some days I wake up and think, could we have a day without a lesson? We just have a free day here, people. But really, I think if I was going to shift one answer, it'd be, I think one of my true purposes at this point is not to get caught up in the obstacles. How do you help other people see that they're not important, that they don't matter, that there's really just, you know, there's really nothing that matters except doing your best, giving your best, being your best, trying your best, loving the most, all of that. So I've had some funny obstacles with Dr. Carter, and I think we both at the end of the day are like, that found their life is too short list. Where, you know, maybe 15 years ago, I would have been out of my mind and, oh my gosh, and this is the end of the world, and this is such a huge project, and it could have brought in so much money, and I blew it, and I didn't do this. It's not that I blow it off now, that it doesn't mean anything, but if I did my best, tried my best, and if that moment in time, my best wasn't what worked for that person, gotta move on. Just can't let it take you over.
Yeah. Yes. So this last question, I'm gonna direct it specifically to Dr. Winston, and then I would love for you all to expound on it as well. But Pastor Winston, in your new book, Faith and the Marketplace, you talk about the need for renewing the mind and having complete mental reversal when someone comes into the kingdom of God. And so the question is, how do we prepare and renew our mind in order to succeed?
Well, the first thing happened is one of the things that the Bible teaches as far as Christ coming back in the earth when he first came, he came preaching repent. And a lot of times what happens, we look at this word and he said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, we look at that and we say, repent, oh, you repent, you sinner, you so forth. Well, he wasn't saying that. He was saying, change your thinking. He's saying, you're thinking the wrong way. And if you look that word up in the Greek and so forth and get his full understanding, it means a mental reversal. He's saying, you're thinking like one on the bottom, but God made you one on the top. And you should be thinking totally differently. And you'd be surprised how your thinking will change if you see yourself from top down than from the bottom up. And how God sees us is he sees us already complete. He doesn't see us as where we are. He took a man named Gideon, and he was, I say this and I say it lightly, but he was the stupidest one among the whole bunch. And God said, I'm going to make you a leader in all of Israel. And Gideon said, who, me? You got to be kidding. I'm the poorest. I'm the least educated and so forth. So when you're talking about getting that reversal going, you're talking about all you have to do is shift the way you think and start thinking like God thinks. And when you do, it's amazing how it'll take you there. Here's a scripture by Booker T. Washington. It was his favorite scripture as he built Tuskegee University, an entire school that he came there with nothing in 1886. And then by 1907, he had 105 buildings. He was producing more self-made African-American millionaires than Harvard, Yale, and Princeton combined. He was doing all of that by teaching them one thing. As a man thinketh, so is he. He says, whatever you think is where you're going to end up. And so we can just affect our thinking we can get to the destiny. I think.
Amen. That any final comments on that? Any final brief comments on that? You got to say brief with Steve because he's really a preacher at heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Any final comments?
Quickly, the companion to thinking are also your habits, your daily habits. And that has to be conjoined together. So we can think and shift our thinking as we need to, but ultimately it's your daily habits that is the measure of whether or not you are holding true to what is a changed mindset. We all know people, we battle this with our own habits as well. Either whether it's getting up early, to work on something, whatever it is, following through, it is the small things. It's your daily habits that, and many of us have to change some of the things that we do and the ways in which we do them. So it's thinking differently, but it's also changing behaviors and habits. Otherwise, everything else is just a conversation. It's just a conversation. We're most going to be measured by what we do. So I, in my office, I had a sign for a while, there's what you think, there's what you say, there's what you do. The first two don't count. Now, that's not technically true. I mean, I do care about what you think and say, but I'm going to have my eyebrow up because I'm going to watch to see what you do. What you do.
That's good.
Andre?
To replenish my mind, I think I walk into each situation differently. I think about what does it take to get this person to believe. So I clear my attitude off the table, and I clear the last thing I did that was successful off the table, and I start to think about this unique individual and how they see the world, and I try to put myself in their mindset, and then I try to sell it as a we idea in their language, something that they're comfortable with, not in my language, not in my attitude, but showing them the respect of, I understand who you are by the way I'm talking to you. So I motivate them in that way. So that clears my mind each time.
Let me just say this before you go to last. One of the things that I think the system of the world tries to take away is the ability for you to think for yourself. I think there's a real assault on your thinking to try to make you go with the masses and not be an individual that God has called you to be. And so that piece, you gotta fight. I mean, I'm an advocate of that. So I just wanted to say that. Yes.
I think, you know, really quickly, Dr. Maya Angelou used to always say, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And I think to agree, obviously, is that when somebody shows you who they are, believe them the first time. And so if you find yourself in the same situation over and over and over again, you know, walk like a duck, it's like a duck, that kind of a thing. So for me, and I have found myself here. I have found, maybe because I hate to say it, maybe because I'm the woman up here, I find where I get the most caught is, did I let somebody down? Have I done enough? You know, the mom working woman guilt syndrome, all of those kind of things. And it takes up a lot of your time and energy, and that's the truth. And I find there's days that I get caught up in, you know, what does somebody think of me and did I do enough and all that. And then I go back to when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And I know for myself in everything I do, and some days my habits could be better, it all could be better. I'm far from reaching the pinnacle of perfection. If we ever do, we probably don't, right? Do we? No? That makes me feel a lot better, by the way. Is that I just try to go into every situation and with kindness and with an open heart and with no judgment and receive what that person has to offer. And you know what? If that person isn't so nice back and they show you how they are, it doesn't feel so good, I try to leave. I don't want anybody trying to kill my spirit.
Yeah. Amen. Well, that is all for us. Thank you so much, Dr. Winston, Ellen Rakitin, Andre Harrell, Steve Pemberton. We hope that we have imparted something today that would help move you forward to the mindset of success. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Cutler.
photographer, please. Rona, Tracy, Robbie. Okay.
All right. Where's Thank you very much. And so while the photographer's coming.
Pastor Reed, yes, Pastor Reed, go ahead.
I have a few announcements. I have a few announcements for you. So we're running just a little bit over time, but we do have lunch. Thank you. We do have lunch provided for you for purchase. So lunch is available. It is Chick-fil-A and Royal Christian Bookstore Cafes, and so that is outside to my left and through the doors.